I rushed into the house feeling a tad nervous. I've been dropping things all day. I checked my phone. I still had 5 more minutes till the Zoom interview. I tossed my bag to the side, rushed to the mirror, checking to see my makeup was still intact. I stared at the blue top, sweat-burning wetness on some of the sides. I reached for my wardrobe, pulled out a gray suit, and put it on. My hands still trembled and my heart raced. It's not every time one gets an interview for their dream job. Plasma PLC had contacted me, reaching out to me a few hours after I'd updated my LinkedIn account, requesting for a Zoom call to do an interview fitting for a work-from-home assistant to help organize schedules and submit every day. It was the perfect fit for my schedule, and the pay was so good. I turned on my laptop, opening the Zoom software, checked my reflection one more time on the screen, then made sure everything was ready. I clicked the link on my email and joined the meeting. "Hello. Welcome, Elizabeth," James said, smiling. I stared at my screen, confused. There were over 5 others staring at the screen. I opened my mouth to say I was expecting a conventional interview, but closed it, refusing them to think I was scared of some other people gunning for the position. It was not until James started that I realized something was off. "Now that we're all here, I would love to set the rules straight. It's quite simple, actually. Working with us means there are consequences. And for us to carry out a real practical interview, every question here has its own consequences and rewards. If you wish to back out, now's the perfect time. But if you want to proceed, let me see your thumb." "What does he mean, consequences?" I asked. But the rest of the interviewees raised their thumbs, and I did the same. Again, not wanting to look clueless. "Perfect. Let's go. We each get turns. Each of you get to answer a question and get it right or wrong. However, once you miss your turn, it moves to the next person." We all nodded in agreement again. James turned his gaze from the screen, staring at something on his table. "All right. First question goes to you, Lisa," he said. I held my breath, pressing my fingers, trying to keep steady. "Have you done anything illegal that was not reported?" he asked. "No," I responded without thinking. "Wrong answer," he cut in. "When you were 11, you stole your neighbor's bicycle, hid it for a week until your mom found it." "That doesn't count as illegal. I was just a child doing consequences, Lisa. You were warned," he snapped back. I jerked back from the laptop, startled at the sudden seriousness. James adjusted his glasses again, and then every trace of the anger on his face vanished. I watched with bated breath as he rose and walked away from the camera. A few seconds later, the white screen behind him came to life. My jaw dropped as I watched in horror. On it, a woman was tied on her knees, dressed in a white dress, her eyes blindfolded. It took a few seconds before I realized who it was. "Mom?" I whispered. "Mom?" I screamed as I made out the face even more. A shudder raced through me now. I pushed my chair back, my heart pounding, and my gaze moved to the glinting black metal pressed against my mother's head, followed by a loud bang. I did not scream. I did not move. I just sat there, too terror-stricken to move. I stared at my mother's lifeless body, a rivulet of crimson blood racing from her head onto the floor. Everything else didn't matter. I stared at the screen, locked on the lifeless face of my mother. The screen went black, and James took his seat in front of the camera, leaning close. He adjusted his glasses again. "Maxwell and Jack both left the Zoom meeting during the small display, and as I mentioned earlier, actions have consequences." I raised my hands to my mouth, watching as 2 masked men appeared on screen, standing behind Maxwell and Jack. I turned around, searching to see if there was anybody inside my room. There was no one. "This has gotta be some serious joke. Mom couldn't possibly be dead." 2 bangs went off, and the 2 screens splashed with blood. I shrieked, shutting my eyes. Every part of me wanted nothing but to slam the laptop close, or shout him, call him out to be a psycho, but instead I remained frozen. The meeting was to last for only 30 minutes, and half of that was already gone. James moved to Andrew, asked him a question. Andrew answered correctly, because nothing seemed to happen. Then he moved to Sonia, the only other girl. I peered through my fingers. Sonia was trembling. "Sonia, what's the worst thing you've done?" James asked again. But Sonia was in no shape to talk. I stared at her, begging her to talk, and begging her to bide her time whilst I think of something to escape this. But there was no way to escape. I had to wait till it was time up. I had to sit it out. There were only three. Only three, which meant the questions would move faster. "Sonia, you have 2 minutes remaining," James said. Sonia stared. Her gaze was unfocused. She could not bring herself to stare away from the spot where Jack's and Maxwell's fields had been. I pressed my lips tight, stifling the moaning pain wanting to rush out of me. My breath seized in my throat.
"1 minute," James said.
We all watched.
30 seconds.
It happened in a flash. 1 minute, she was fidgeting in front of the camera. The next, Sonia jerked from her seat, raced to the window of her apartment, and threw herself out of it. The air chilled around me. This was it. There was no way of getting out of this one. Death was certain. I held my breath, trying my best to keep my cool, but failing desperately. I closed my eyes, hot tears shimmering out of them. Andrew listened with rapt attention, waiting for James' next question.
"Lisa, would you say that you were a good girl as a child?" he asked.
I paused. I knew the answer, but 10 more minutes remained. I just had to waste as much as I could. My gaze turned to Andrew pleadingly. We could survive this, we could! If I use the whole of my time. I turned at the clock again, although outside the camera's field I hoped Andrew would understand. Andrew stared at me, long and hard, as I repeated the motion. He lifted his hand, revealing his watch on it, and both of us gave a curt nod.
1 more minute, James crooned. 30 seconds. 15.
No, I answered. James stared at me, hard and long, then nodded. I noticed his attention move to Andrew.
"Tell me, Andrew, what was the worst thing you did as a teenager?" he asked.
Andrew was trembling badly. His fingers vibrated so hard you could hear them on the table. Sweat oozed from his face. His gaze remained unfocused. He stared at his watch. It was his 5 minutes. There was no way he would ignore the question. I could see him straining hard, trying to recall the worst thing.
"Andrew, we are waiting for your response," James said. But Andrew was not listening. Every part of him was shaking now. 2 minutes, Andrew.
He was having a heart attack.
1.
I watched as the second hands clicked. Andrew struggling in his chair. James just watched him, calling the time. Gasps escaped my mouth just as Andrew collapsed to the ground. James sighed, as though disappointed Andrew had died without answering the question. Then turned to me. He picked out a card from the list. "What age did you lose your virginity?" I checked the clock hand. The second hand chimed at exactly 30 minutes since I joined the call. "I'm afraid our time is up, Lisa," James said, as though he'd not just killed people and made it seem like this was a regular interview. And the line went dead.
Did you enjoy the first story? If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the channel.
Hello, my name is Amanda. That is how each call started. I once worked for a recruitment agency that gathered skilled individuals for companies outsourcing their hiring to other firms. The agency's notice for any job opening was often met with thousands of applications for a single position. The bar for qualification was high. It went without saying that the ensuing procedure to ensure that qualification was rigorous. Potential candidates had to go through 3 tests before they could begin a series of face-to-face interviews. That was where I entered the picture. Like my superior would say back then, I was the beginning of the second wave of the agency's procedure for weeding out persons that didn't meet the standards the agency set. This essentially meant that I had the privilege of speaking with several people a day, 10 minutes each. At the end of the session, I had to make flash decisions if those applicants needed to be left on the cutting floor or were good enough to move on to the second interview and hence move on further up the recruitment process. The agency's guide for making this call was based on a combination of things. Number one was the applicant's answers to the questions that were given. Two was their composure while answering those questions. The first one was easy compared to the second, as any nuance of body language was often lost in the grainy transmission that was Zoom calls. I know what you're thinking. I probably quit because the pay was shit. No, the pay wasn't the best, but it was enough for a 25-year-old like me who'd been out of a job for 2 years after college and wanted nothing more than to work from home. As I said, I spent an average of 10 minutes on each call. The calls, once I got used to them, never deviated from the pattern. I asked questions, I listened, I smiled, and ended the call. I opened the spreadsheet, and then typed out a remark under the person's name, then send it, and repeat. I remember the day now just like it was yesterday. I was at home in the corner I'd set up to answer the office calls. I went through the spreadsheet. The next name was Alex. I imputed the number and dialed it. It rang for a while before the person on the other side answered the call. "Hello, my name's Amanda. I'll be your interview officer today," I said with a smile. Everything was done with a smile at the agency. "Hi, my name's Alex," the man on the other side said. The way he spoke made the words sound a lot more sinister than they were. "Hello, can you hear me?" he asked, snapping me out of my thoughts of the black bag object rolled up in the corner. Yes, I can," I replied. "Okay," he said. "It's nice to finally see you face to face," he replied. I didn't allow myself to think anything of the phrasing, as he was probably just nervous himself, too. I moved past that, asking him about his resume and the gap between his last two jobs. "Do you know I hate cats?" he asked. I was speechless, as I didn't understand the meaning of the non sequitur. "Is it just me? Has your face become more beautiful than the last time I saw it?" "Alex!" I shouted. "That is highly unprofessional, and I must ask that your answers and comments remain within the confines of the question I ask you." He held up both hands as if to say he was done. At least that's what I interpreted as. I repeated my question. He answered. I asked a few more questions, and he answered. Although I'd already lost my patience, the agency required me to ask one last one. This was meant to showcase the creativity of the applicant, or whatever bullshit reason the agency gave for listing that question. "Is there anything else you want on the record?" "No," he nodded his head. "Okay, that's the end of the interview. The agency will be in touch with you," I told him. Just right at the moment I was about to click on the end button, the man shouted for me to wait. "What is it?" I said. I couldn't hide the annoyance in my voice anymore. "I miss you," he said.
"What?"
"I miss you," he repeated. "It's been a long while since I saw your face," he said. That was it, I thought to myself. "You know what? Fuck you," I said as I ended the call. I moved to the spreadsheet and marked the name Alex with an X. I was about to restart the interview process. I'd spent more than 10 minutes on the call with the creep and needed to get back on track. I looked through the names on the spreadsheet, picked the next name, and called. Before the call could connect again, my phone began ringing. It was a video call from a number that wasn't saved on my phone. I rejected it, but the number called back as quickly as I rejected, and as frequently, too. Finally giving in, I answered the call, only to see the now familiar face of Alex staring at me from the phone. "How did you get my number? If you continue this, I'll have no option but to disqualify you, and you won't be able to go forward with the job opening."
"Oh, fuck the job opening," he said with a smile.
Not to lose a step, I followed up by threatening to report him to the police. This didn't deter him. He just moved forward to the screen, licked his lips in front of the camera.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
I was about to end the call again when he asked a question that sent a shiver down my spine. "How's Buttercup doing?" he asked. I sat there without moving, the thoughts and memory crisscrossing my mind with the speed of a moving train. Buttercup was my cat, you see. She was a gift from my mother before she passed away. I loved that cat more than anything. I went looking for Buttercup after she didn't turn up two nights in a row. I didn't find her. One day, I'd gotten a knock on the door and opened the door to find my sweet cat on the ground. She had been shaved, and from the looks of it, she was tortured too. At that moment, my mind flashed back to what he said about hating cats. "How do you know about Buttercup?" I asked, sure that he had a hand in the death of my cat. "Did you kill my cat?" I asked again. He laughed again. This time he didn't just stop. He told me that my pants looked nice. The camera on my PC was only capturing my blouse. There was no way he could see below the table. I ended the call, closed my blinds, put off the light, and called the police. After a day or two, they came back with the news that, on visiting the house, they found the owner of the house was dead, and had been dead for days. Whoever this Alex was, he must have done it. I quit immediately after that, changed my name, and moved out of state. It had been 3 years now without the specter in my life. I opened the door today, after the doorbell had rung, and there was no one there. Just a note on the ground that said, "I miss you. From Alex." The last 2 years changed the whole world, but most of all the business sector. Everyone had to keep their businesses going somehow, and most companies resorted to online calls. It wasn't so easy working with an online presence because it wasn't as effective as being in the company and around people physically. But somehow we all got used to it and it became the norm. I, for one, loved the online thing because it meant I didn't have to deal with so many people, which was, like, the only problem I had. Dealing with people was the number one turnoff for me. And the fact that the world had to go digital just a month after I got a well-paying job was the best thing that could ever happen to me. I hated the fact that the whole world was on lockdown, which meant I couldn't also go to my favorite places, but what could I do? I had to focus more on the advantages. I placed my coffee gently on the table as I waited for the next 15 minutes to go by. I was patiently waiting for the meeting I had for 10 o'clock in the morning. Most of the meetings we had now were on Zoom, which was also the same as being there physically because you got to see their faces and hear their voices, including some of the annoying ones, but I couldn't run from it either way. Eventually, it was time for the meeting, and I logged in. Everyone was quiet, which was awkward considering the fact that they were always noisy and said anything and everything that came to their mind, even if it wasn't related to the topic that was supposed to be discussed in the meeting. Okay, I kind of love this, I thought, and just waited for whoever was going to talk first. I was running out of patience and was about to say something, even if it was only hi, before the boss spoke up. I was even more surprised that she was quiet because she was the kind to always voice out and say random jokes when everything was getting boring and no one didn't have anything to say. Okay, let's get to the topic we called this meeting for, she said. The meeting was actually going to be a brief one, or long, depending on how much people wanted to talk, but considering the fact that they were all silent already, I doubted that the meeting was going to be long. The boss only called the meeting to hear ideas of people on what we could do online to boost the business. I wasn't going to say anything, but I had to be in the meeting because, according to the boss, I was new to the company and should know how the meetings went, since I wasn't allowed any physical meeting with them. It was probably for my own good, because I would almost die from an anxiety attack seeing so many faces staring at me. After about 10 minutes, the network of almost everyone on the call went off, leaving only myself and another woman who was really close with the boss. I thought the best thing was not to say anything and wait for the network of others to clear off so that we could continue the meeting. After about 5 minutes, the network still didn't come back to normal and they left the call, leaving a message to try to come back later, which left me and the woman alone. She continued staring at me. Her eyes were so fixed on my face, which got me scared. I couldn't leave the call because I didn't want to seem rude, and I didn't want to say anything just because I didn't know what to say that wasn't going to sound rude to her, judging from the way she looked at me with an emotion I could tell was hatred. I just thought she didn't like me because it was normal for some people not to like you in the midst of so many people, but I didn't know what she felt towards me was as much as what I could see boldly written on her facial expressions. I'd had enough of her. I was about to hang up for my own peace of mind when she finally spoke up, which caused me to stop in my tracks to listen to what she had to say. Of course everyone likes you and all that, but also know that I have every single piece of information about you. Where you live, your friends, the things you eat, and any other thing you could think of which should be private, that's what I know. Now, I'm not telling you to be careful or anything like that. I don't like things like that. They're games for the weak. I'm putting it to you plainly that you must quit the job at the company because I don't want you here. And if you don't listen to what I tell you, there's a repercussion for it, which is nothing close to how gentle I am right now. You would regret not listening to my instructions if you decide to be stubborn. I was shocked. She was the kind of woman who, even though mean, I thought she was going to like me in the long run like I'd seen in the movies. But it was probably far from it at this moment. I didn't say anything, but slightly pressed the record button on the keyboard before going back to staring at her. At least, whatever she said now was going to be on record, and she could not lie against her own voice, that was a fact. I'm sorry, I don't understand. You didn't get me this job, and I don't think you have the right to tell me not to work anymore. The confidence came from somewhere, and I didn't even bother to know where it came from. I needed it at that point to escape the dilemma the woman was trying to put me in. I see you have some boldness, but I'm sure you would not wish death upon yourself at 28 years. But if that's what you want, I would happily be ready to help, because it is what I do best. I didn't know what I was supposed to be more scared of. The fact that the woman was way different from what I knew, or the fact that she talked death nonchalantly like it was nothing special, when in fact death was a big thing. I stopped recording the video and just waited for her to finish her drama and give me the permission to end the call. I'm gonna leave you alone, but that would be forever. And the only way that would happen would be for you to actually die. You know that, right? She smirked after her first sentence. Well, you might believe me or not, but... She brought out a gun and pointed it at the screen, towards my head, before licking her thumb and sliding her thumb over her neck to signify the one thing she had been saying. Then she ended the call immediately. I was shocked for a minute before I eventually logged out of Zoom. I was going to send a complaint immediately. How was I supposed to deal with what I just saw? Not even physically, but on a call. I just wish I didn't stop recording the call before she brought out the gun.
My laptop was infected with a virus, and while I was trying to solve it, a Zoom call opened up directly in front of me, full of faces that I had never seen before. It looked weird because they all wore the same thing and looked almost alike. The only difference being that some had shorter hair with which they identified as men, while some had longer hair to show that they were women. They all dressed in black shirts and spoke at the same time, and there was a symbol printed out on the right-hand side of each of their shirts. The logo had a snake wrapped around a rough stick with its eyes plugged out like it was looking for something to devour. I tried to leave the call, but I couldn't. I loosened my belt around my trousers to feel better, but my anxiety quickened for each second that I spent more on that video call. I clicked on the leave button on the screen one more time, but it just stuck on it. I decided to be quiet and just listen to whatever it was that they were going to say or whatever was going to happen. One of the guys opened his mouth to talk, but closed it back immediately as if he remembered something. And it's just like that. They all wore masks before I even had a chance to take screenshots of their faces. I hit my hand on the table in frustration, and just about that time, the man spoke up. "Well, it's about time you joined us. It's nice to see you after a very long time." I looked back at my sides to be sure that he wasn't talking to me, and it was probably someone who was beside or behind me, even though I lived alone. "I'm sorry, what?" I asked. They saw how confused I was and all laughed. I wondered what was funny and continued to look at them with a confused expression until they stopped laughing. "I see your father didn't tell you a lot of things before he died," one of the women said. Right there, I knew they couldn't be lying because my father was truly dead and he was really secretive about many things which no one got to know before he died. I was guessing the secret group was part of what he didn't talk about before he died, and the other members of the group wanted me to know about it. The only reason they could have hacked into my laptop. I couldn't say anything and just continued to look at them to hear whatever it was they were going to say next. Next, they did something that caused me to run off my chair towards the wall. They brought out big, heavy snakes and wrapped it around their heads before standing up and saying incoherent words. The snakes stood firmly on their heads until they were done and sat back down. I always thought it was important to watch, however, the situation played out in cases like that because you could never tell if what you were going to say is going to agree with them, which meant for me becoming one of them, something I was running from. Any kind of cult was my greatest fear. They began to leave the call one after the other eventually, leaving only me. I tried to leave the call again and I was stuck. I couldn't believe what I just saw. I picked up my phone to call my mom. Even though I didn't know anything about it, it was quite possible that she did.